Well, amen. Let's take our Bibles over to Matthew chapter number 7 tonight. It's good to see you. And yes, Brother Wayne, I'm doing good. I could have given many praises during the praise time. Just as a church, we've had a lot of good things happen here recently. And a couple of weeks ago, had two families join. And last week, three people get baptized. Miss Samantha and Brother Brad and my youngest daughter. And then after the service, I had one, Brother Mark got to talk to Lily, Josie. I get those two confused. I know their names and I know what they look like. I just get them swapped. Got to talk to Josie and she got saved last Sunday morning. And then we have a couple scheduled for baptism on Sunday. So we are just right in the middle of a really good time as far as that goes. And then that's not to mention all the personal praises I could give. So yeah, things are, yes, sir. Oh yeah, we should pray for Howard. Howard Johnson, he came to our church. Oh, it's been a couple of months, a few months ago when we got to know him. But he lost his wife a few years ago, and he's still dealing with that. That's actually kind of what brought him here. And then, this just about 2 weeks ago, he lost his daughter, very unexpectedly, and so he came to church Sunday. He was real broken up about it. And so we need to add him to our list, be praying for Brother Howard Johnson. We're not 100% sure of his salvation. Have talked to him once about it, and he said he was. But still have some questions. And so just be praying for him. Yeah, thank you for reminding me, brother. All right, let's look at Matthew 7. So last Wednesday night, we talked about everyone's favorite subject, don't worry. And this week, we're going to talk about everyone's favorite verse, judge not. Isn't that everyone's favorite verse? That's what you hear all the time, isn't it? Anytime you do anything as a Christian, anytime you say anything to anyone, it's, oh, hey, Jesus said, judge not. All right, is that what he said? He did. It's the first two words, but you have to read the rest of the chapter. And so what we're going to look at tonight is a message I called, Who's to Judge? And we're going to just see exactly what did Jesus say. I would pose to you this: it's impossible to live without judging. And if you drive home, I hope that you're making some judgment calls in your car. I hope you're looking left and right to make sure no one's coming. You're making a judgment there. Is there a bus coming or not? And then you act on that judgment. Did you know in a spiritual way we do the very same thing all the time? You have to. There's no getting out of that. And so let's look at what the Lord said here. So actually, Matthew 7, if you're there, hold your place there. And we're going to read Matthew 7 first. But then we're going to turn and read John 8. Okay, so look at John 8. And we'll read a little bit here. Just verse 3, John 8, 3. So if you've got Matthew 7 and John 8, say amen. Okay, so I'm going to go to Matthew 7, verse 1, and we'll read these first five verses, and then we'll flip over and read out of John 8. So the Bible says right here, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus preaching here says, Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So just look at verse 5 real quick, and we're going to go over to John 8 here. But in verse 5, did you notice that Jesus is not saying, don't help your brother? He's not saying, don't help your brother. He's saying, first, help yourself. Then, help your brother. Okay? Look at John 8 here. And we'll read this and then basically just reference it. And so, but I wanted to read this story. John 8, verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at. You know when you have a verse memorized wrong in your head and you're reading it and you want to say what you think it says? Let me go ahead and just read what it actually says here. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us tonight as we look at this idea, who's to judge. Father, I do pray that you'd help us, as you've commanded us in the Bible, to judge righteous judgment. Lord, I pray you'd make clear the passage here and exactly what you're saying, what you're teaching. We really need to know what it is that you have said so we can know how we're to form and how we're to act in our lives. And so we pray for clarity. We pray for your help in that. Pray that you'd help me as I preach and teach tonight. Just give me all the thoughts you want me to convey. And Lord, I just pray that everything that we do here would be for the edification of one another and for your glory. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the most used quote maybe from those who reject Jesus, and maybe they live a lifestyle or they are involved in some things that Jesus would preach against, when you go to maybe correct them on those things or something, you're going to hear this. Hey, Jesus said, even Jesus said, judge not. The problem is, I don't know that we understand the phrase, judge not, that you be not judged. So I'm going to define judgment here. Judgment means this: to separate, to put asunder, to pick out, to select, to choose, to note differences, to categorize, or to form an opinion. So when you think about judgment in general, you would pretty immediately understand this, that you judge things all the time. You judge things all the time. It's literally built into our lives. We judge things. You go to a buffet, you're going to get some things and you're going to skip other things because you're going to make hopefully some good judgments there at the buffet. You're going to form an opinion or you're going to categorize or you're going to note differences, and you're going to select things that you like. You're going to reject things that you don't. So we're going to apply some of those truths to maybe the spiritual realm and whether or not we ought to judge spiritual things. Do we need to judge sin? Do we need to judge ourselves? Do we need to judge others? Okay, we're going to get into this. I would say this right up front. Jesus is not suggesting that we never judge. Okay, he's not. I know he says judge not, but there's a comma. And the thought continues, that you be not judged. But not only does the thought continue, there's actually proof all around us that we are required to judge. Notice in the text here itself. So just right here in the Bible, all of chapter 7 is a chapter dedicated to instruction concerning righteous judgment. So if you wanted to put a label on top of chapter 7, you could say this: righteous judgment. Right? Look at a couple of things. Look at verse number 6. So I don't even know what is. Next week's Christmas. I won't be preaching next Wednesday night. The Wednesday after that is New Year's, so I won't be preaching. I might be preaching, but not this message. But in a couple of weeks, I'm going to preach a message I'm calling Dogs, Hogs, and Treasure Hunters. And it comes out of verse number 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, here's what the Lord's saying, and I'm not going to over-preach because I got to save something for a couple weeks from now, but he's saying don't give what's holy to the dogs and don't cast your pearls before swine. How would you know what a dog is or what a swine is, a pig, if you didn't judge? Right? Because you understand in verse 6, he's not talking about animals. We'll get to it. But he's talking about groups of people that could be labeled as such. Quite literally, Jesus is saying, you need to make a judgment, and you don't need to give that which is holy to a dog, and you don't need to cast pearls before swine. You say, well, those are pretty harsh terms. I'm glad Jesus preached this message and not me, because I've never preached a message where I called people swine and dogs and that kind of stuff. But if we're going to obey the Lord in verse 6, you understand we're going to have to make some judgments. We're going to have to say in our heart, there's a dog. Don't let me point to anyone. Right here in the middle. No one's here. There's a dog, right? Or there's a swine. I'll turn that way, right? No, that's a judgment we have to make. Look at verse number 13. Just to give you some examples. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You better judge the gate. You better judge. How would we decide which way if we don't make a judgment? Verse number 15, beware of false prophets. Well, are we not supposed to call people? I wouldn't want to judge someone and call them a false prophet. Jesus said, you better beware of false prophets. If there's a false prophet, you better figure out who he is or she is. And yes, you're going to give them that label. And yes, you're going to beware of them. Verse number 20, go down to verse number 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. He's still talking about false prophets, by the way. But what he's saying is, you're going to look at a person's, the fruits of their life, and it's going to determine what kind of a person or what kind of a prophet that they are. That is literally the definition of judging. Okay? So here's what I'm trying to say. If we read Matthew 7, what we find is that the Lord says all throughout the chapter, he illustrates for us quite a few things that we need to be judging. Okay, so he can't be saying you should never judge anyone or never judge anything. But he is telling us, and let's get this right, he's telling us we better be very, very careful about our judging. We got to be very, very careful about our judging. Now, we see judgment not only in the text, we see judgment in our society, and we don't have a problem with it for the most part. The government judges, and you say, well, how do they? Well, they have these people who wear badges, right? And they go around to keep the law. And the idea is, and here's the thing, they're supposed to use the law that is in writing there. They're supposed to judge based on the law. They're supposed to look at us and say, this person is obeying the law or that person is not obeying the law. They're making judgments. And we appreciate that they do that because we want a lawful society. We could go into a lot of these. I got quite a few things written down. It's really not the point, but there's proof of the need to judge in the instruction given to the local church, right? As a local church, we have to kind of take care of our membership and make sure that people are following Scripture and that kind of a thing. And so something like church discipline is not done without judging, without looking and comparing something to the truth and then coming up with an answer. It's judgment. There's proof even in doctrine and in Scripture. John 7, 24, Jesus says this, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That's what Jesus says. He expects that we would judge not according to the appearance, but to judge righteous judgment. Again, not saying that we're never going to judge, but that we would need to judge righteous judgment. We could look at 2 Timothy 2. I wrote this passage down, but 2 Timothy 2, verse 11 through 19, of course, in that section of Scriptures is study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why is it important that we study our Bible, that we rightly divide, that we know what the Scriptures say? Well, because we're going to have to judge matters. And we don't, here's a key point right away. We're not judging them based upon our opinion, are we? So when I'm careful to judge, first of all, I need to make sure that I'm judging righteous judgment. I'm using the Scriptures as my guide for judgment. So he tells us study, right? Study to show thyself approved. Then he says this, but shun profane and vain babblings. You ever been talking to someone and Before long, you could just tell they were into some vain and profane babblings. The word babbling, it's as if it's just sort of going on and going nowhere. It's just going into outer space. It's like, hey, if you can tell that that's going on, shun, right? Get away from that. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. Their word doth eat as a canker. I'm reading this because then Paul says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? I mean, how would you like for Paul to be talking about some, you know, false or some people who were involved in vain and profane babblings, and then all of a sudden he mentions you? You see, that'd be a rough place to be. You realize that letter that he sent to Timothy, those people were alive in that day. I mean, they were still walking around. They were still, some people knew who they were. Apparently, Timothy knew who they were. Have you ever thought about that? And he wrote their name down. He said, hey, Shun, stay away from these folks because they're off into something they shouldn't be in. You know what he's doing? He's saying, we've judged something that's incorrect here. Okay, so I'm just sharing some of this to say, it's not that Jesus is making a case that we shouldn't judge, because if he is, then we're going to scrap a lot of the rest of our Bible because there's a lot of judgment happening in the scriptures. But there is a right way and a wrong way to judge. We have to use the scriptures as our guide, because as I said, I think a week ago, you can have your own opinions, but you can't have your own facts. So our judgment is not based upon our opinion. It's based upon the right and wrong of scripture. Think about this. You can't properly witness without judging. Did you know that? Because you'll talk to someone and they'll say, oh no, I don't need Jesus. I'm good. And then what are you going to tell them? Well, I don't want to judge you. I don't want to judge you. So yeah, you do you and I'll do me. You know what you're doing? You're sentencing them to hell. I mean, you're not. But you're letting them continue down a path toward hell because you don't want to judge them. And so, if Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but by me. So when we're talking to someone, if anything else is mentioned on which they're placing their hope of salvation, we need to be able to make a judgment right there and let them know, hey, you're going the wrong way. You got to turn around. Because if Jesus is right, listen, Muhammad is wrong. If Jesus is right, Buddha is wrong. If Jesus is right, then our good works are wrong. If Jesus is right, then the atheist is wrong. And so it's okay. I would tell you this. I'm so glad someone came along in my life and had enough sense to let me know I needed more than myself. I needed Jesus. They made a judgment. They said, you're on your way to hell, son. I'm so glad they told me that. Changed my life. And so again, if we're even going to witness to someone, well, we're going to have to make some judgment. And I think, especially in the case of salvation, we could say, if we don't judge, then look at the consequences. Right? If you're not willing to let someone know, hey, that thing you're counting on, and we'll get to it all, we'll get to it. There's a spirit in which we should judge. There's a way to do it. I think it was Brother Lou Baldwin. If you never heard him preach, I'd encourage you to look him up and listen to him preach. Brother Lou Baldwin's a phenomenal preacher. I think it was him who said we can have the right position and have the wrong disposition. You know, in other words, we believe right, but the way that we come across isn't right. And so someone may be offended by the way we come across. They're not offended by the truth. They're offended by the way we come across. We come across all judgy. There's a way to do it. But if we don't judge, our lives would be chaotic and we wouldn't be a gospel witness. And so again, let's learn what it means and what the purpose is and what righteous judgment really is. All right. So there's a few things in the context, Matthew 7, back to Matthew 7, that we can look at that will help us. First of all, Jesus says, judge not, comma, that ye be not judged. So when we hear the phrase judge not, we assume and we infer actually, because it is true, that he's talking about judging of other people, right? That's what he's talking about. Judge not those other people because that ye, or so that ye be not judged. So he's turning this sort of outward, or maybe we point our finger this way kind of judgment, to a point our finger this way kind of judgment. He says, you better remember something. You are going to be judged. Paul tells the church at Corinth something very similar when he's dealing with them on the Lord's Supper table. He says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So while we have to make judgments in the world, and we have to identify some hogs and dogs and wolves and everything else, and we have to choose between right doctrine and wrong doctrine, we need to realize this. Ultimately, we are not the judge. All of us are awaiting a judgment, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We will all be judged. Listen to this. I'm not going to be the one judging you in eternity. You understand that? I won't be. You won't be, by the way, judging me. But there is a righteous judge. Philippians tells us it's Jesus to whom every knee will bow. And so he will judge all of the world, every single one of us. And so we need to understand this. The judgments that we make in this life are not indicative of the final judgment, but the judgment that we do in this life prepares us for a judgment that's coming. For example, the judgment that's talked about in Revelation 20, the great white throne judgment, that is a judgment that is there for the lost of the world, those that did not choose Christ. There's going to be a judgment someday where they're all brought up before God and their works will be judged. And at the end of that judgment, all of them are sentenced to eternity in a lake of fire because they have rejected Christ. So if I would judge myself today, and I would accept Christ today, then I can avoid that judgment. Does that make sense? So if I judge myself, that I be not judged. Is that a good way to say that? In other words, if we decide, hey, I want what Jesus did on the cross to be the judgment of my sins, and I want Christ to forgive me, then I can avoid that judgment altogether. So let me just encourage you, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, there's a judgment coming. All men will stand before God, and all men will be guilty before God because of their sin. The only way to avoid that judgment is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the only way. But that's an example of judge not that you be not judged. Okay? Or it's an example of I'm gonna judge now, verse 2, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. Again, we're going to get into the practical here in a second, because what the Lord's really talking about is not salvation. I'm just giving you an example. He's talking about, if the purpose of judgment today is to help prepare us for that final judgment. So why would I care to judge sin in my life today? Why would I care? Because the more I judge it now and deal with it now, the less I'll hear of it then. Does that make sense? Now, I know for the believer, we're not going to a judgment of sin. Jesus paid for our sins on the cross. I understand that. But we are going to a judgment where there will be reward and there will be loss. And the things that we didn't do, the things that we did that weren't for Christ, or maybe they were done in the wrong attitude, whatever it is, those things will burn up. And so the idea of judging today is to prepare us for the future judgment. Okay, so we judge today to prepare for tomorrow's judgment. And Christian, there really is a judgment coming. Notice what Paul tells the Roman church, but Romans 14:10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So here's Paul. He's dealing with some brothers, some Christians who are judging one another unnecessarily. There's a lot of things in this life not worth judging one another over, right? We'll get to some of the things that are, but the ones that aren't, he's saying, hey, you guys realize you're all going to stand before Jesus, and he's seeing all of this, and he knows the truth, and here's what I'm getting at, and this is another reason we read out of the book of John as well, because there is right judgment and there is wrong judgment. Let's look at the example that Jesus gave in verse number 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, But considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Okay, so I got to be careful because I want to be very reverent. This is a sermon preached by Jesus, okay? And so I'm not calling his sermon ridiculous. But he's giving an outlandish illustration, okay? He's given an illustration that's comical even. He's given an illustration that you would consider ridiculous. Okay, so a moat. You have something today. I was cutting wood and I actually got a little splinter in my eye. A little piece of wood got in my eye. And that would be what a moat. Everyone in here has had that happen, right? Something has gotten in your eye, and I'm telling you, nothing bugs you more than that. It's bad. So you do all the stuff to get it out of there. So that's what, when it says there's a mote in thy brother's eye, that's the idea. It's like he's got this little speck. He's got something that it's irritating and it's in his eye. And he's saying, why are you coming to your brother to deal with his mote when you have a beam? Now, how big does a piece of wood have to be before you start calling it a beam? Think about that for a second. I mean, you're not calling a 2x4 a beam. Right? You never looked at a 2x4 at Home Depot and said, I need some of those beams right there. No, how big does a piece of wood have to be before you start calling it a beam? You see this illustration the Lord's given? He's given this illustration. It says if you could visualize someone coming and they've got this beam coming out of their face and they're concerned about the mote, the speck that's in their brother's eye. And so he's giving this illustration to share with them and to remind us that, listen, we all have a whole lot of things. I mean, we could probably keep ourselves busy for all the hours of the day that we're awake just judging ourselves. That's what he's saying. You're probably not going to have much time, a lot of the time, to get to the motes in your brother's and sister's eye because you got so much to deal with at home. And I feel that way very many times. That's what he's saying. And so he's looking at a group of people, and again, if you want to think about our story in John 8 or even flip back over there, you realize that's exactly what they were doing. Okay, this woman had been caught in adultery. We don't exactly know the circumstances, but they were saying that she was caught in the very act. But then you notice in John 8, as we read it, their concern wasn't actually the woman. Their concern wasn't even her sin. I've heard it speculated that they even maybe set her up or had a part in it because they were convicted of heart when Jesus said, well, hey, you cast the first stone. And maybe he looked at one of the men that was involved in the situation. I don't know. It doesn't tell us all the details. But here's what I do know. They were more concerned. It said it right there. They brought her before Jesus to see what he would do because they wanted to tempt him. They weren't worried about, they weren't saying, hey, Lord, this woman needs help. She needs to get on the right track here, and she's got some things wrong in her life. Could you help her? No, they were bringing her before him, and they were throwing these accusations and judgments, not so they could help her, but rather so that they could condemn Jesus. And so Jesus is looking at their major heart problem. He's looking at a beam coming out of their face, out of their eye, and he's going, hey, I wonder if he looked at, I don't know, he looked down, and he's drawing in the ground. I don't know what he wrote. Everyone likes to guess what he wrote. We have no clue what he wrote. All right? If someone ever says, I know what he wrote, it's not in the Bible. We don't know what he wrote in the sand that day. I mean, I'm sure it was something. It's Jesus. So I'm sure it was something. I mean, there's a lot of suggestions. I won't give you any because I don't know what it was. But he wrote something. And I wonder if he stood up and looked one of them in the eye and said, how about you throw the first stone? And he's looking at a beam. I mean, the Lord can see our hearts. And he's looking at a beam coming out. I'm not saying that her sin wasn't big. Adultery is a big sin. But he's looking and he's saying, how about, you know what he told him? He said, how about you judge yourself first? And if you can throw a stone, then pick one up. And you notice none of them did. Because they all knew that Jesus saw right through their intentions and their motives and everything else. And you see right here that Jesus pointed out their fault without even mentioning their fault, and none of them could throw a stone. They had not first judged themselves. Their motivation and their purpose was all wrong. They were condemning, not helping. Where in the Bible are we told to judge one another, to condemn one another? You won't find the verse. You will not find a verse where we're to judge one another in a condemning manner. In fact, turn to Galatians 6. And I'm almost done here. Galatians 6. I thought I was preaching fast, but it's already 8 o'clock. I don't know what happened. Galatians 6, though. Look at verse number 1. See, there's a way in which we could judge. Not saying we should, but there's a way in which we could judge. Where we look at someone and we point out a fault, and our intention really is not to help the person. Our intention really is actually to just hurt the person, to point out, you're a big bad sinner. And what is that doing? That's putting me, you know what's happening when you're doing that? That's putting me up on a little pedestal. And what happens too often is we are judgmental in that way, and our motivation, our consideration is not for the other person. It's actually what it is. It's really to make ourselves seem better or righteous. One of the reasons we come off as what the world would call judgmental is because that's the sort of judgment that happens all the time. If you don't believe me, you should do this. Just go on Facebook and throw an unpopular opinion out there on a public forum. You will be judged. You will be judged hard. And they don't care about you, and they're not trying to help you. What they're doing is they're saying, I'm right, you're wrong. And it's more about them than it is you, because they're lifting themselves up in that judgment. The Bible never tells us to judge in that way. In fact, Jesus, he says, hey, you got a beam to deal with. And in another passage, he says, hey, you might want to think about picking up a stone. Can you pick up a stone? Apparently, not one person in that crowd that day could pick up a stone. Notice what Galatians 6 says. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, I mean, that's a rough time for your brother, right? They're into sin. They're into false doctrine. Name it, whatever. They're overtaken in a fault. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. Now, that's judgment, isn't it? You're going to him and say, hey, you're off here, bro. You've gone the wrong way. But notice, there's no period. It says, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. See, he says, you better be careful when you judge. You better be meek. And you better be considering yourself, taking care of the beams first. Then it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone that day could have thrown a stone at the woman, it was Jesus. But he said, neither do I condemn you. So that's the law of Christ. And by the way, he wasn't letting her get away with her sin. We could talk about the passage more if you want some time. But the idea here is that we're to bear one another's burdens. When I'm intervening in someone's life by way of judgment, it should always be to say, hey, we're all human. We all fall. Sometimes we get off, and I have too. I feel like there's something here that would really help you if you'd see the truth of this. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to help pick that person back up and go the same way, or get them going the right way. And there's some evidence that we're doing that. If our judgment is loud so everyone can hear, we're probably not doing it the right way. Right? If I'm really wanting just to help that person, why would I publish what I think is wrong with them to everyone? I wouldn't, because that's not helpful. I would go and to that person and meekly and humbly and in a helpful manner say, hey, can we talk about this? And try to lift them up. That's the spirit of Christ. So when we judge wrongly, what we're really doing is we're just comparing that person to ourselves or to someone else to make ourselves feel better or to amplify someone else's faults. Because when someone else's faults seem big, it makes ours seem small. So let me put it this way. There is a hypercritical, hypocritical judgment. And then there is a constructive judgment intended on pointing others to Christ. So I have made a slide here so that we can, here's what we're going to do. We're going to judge our own judgment, okay? Because we have to judge, and we will. We're going to judge. You're going to judge tonight. You're going to judge what time you go to bed, right? You're going to, I mean, maybe you won't get on social media tonight. That'd be good. But if you get on there, sure enough, you're going to have to judge something because someone's going to say something dumb. Okay. Does no one say anything dumb on y'all's feeds? Because they do on mine all the time. Okay. Let's judge our judgment. Okay, let's deal with the beam. Condemning spirit, constructive spirit. We obviously want to be on the right-hand side of this, okay? If we're judging in a condemning spirit, our judgment will be self-righteous, okay? Our judgment will be self-righteous. In other words, we're going to appear as if we don't have any problems, but you do, right? Self-righteous. Very much like these guys in John 8, we're just wanting to see someone else go down. But if we are judging in a constructive spirit, then we will be self-aware. Self-aware. What I mean by that is this. We're all prone to fall. We're all prone to fall. And by the way, we've all fallen. There's not a single person in here that could throw a stone tonight. We're all sinners. And so when we go to help someone else, especially if they're into some sin, we need to be very aware that we have been in sin, we may be in sin, and we may very well be in sin tomorrow. Now, hopefully we're trying to live the Christ-like life, and hopefully we're living in the Spirit. We're trying to have victory over sin. I'm not saying we have to sin. I'm just saying you better be aware of your propensity to sin because you're a sinner when you go talk to them about their sin. Be pretty good to get on your knees first before God and make sure the beam is out of your eye before you go and you speak to them. So a condemning spirit is self-righteous. A constructive spirit is self-aware. A condemning spirit is confident and proud. Many times, someone who's judging in a condemning spirit will point out how they have this, this, or this that's different than you have or whatever. Very confident, very proud. Look at me. On the other hand, a constructive spirit is humble and careful. In Galatians 6:1, there's that indication that, you know, when you're helping someone out of a pit, you better not get too close to the edge. Because you too could fall in. Me and Jax are getting ready to get into ice fishing because we need another hobby. And I've been thinking about that. Before we get out of there on that ice, I'm going to have a rope. Someone goes in the lake, you need a rope, right? But I was also thinking, if it broke over there, whoever it is that's throwing the rope better not get too close. That's the idea. Okay? So humble, careful. Man, if not for the grace of God, we're all in that pit. Condemning spirit, there's a feeling of superiority. Read John 8, those guys. At the beginning of the conversation, they felt as if they were better than the woman, which they weren't because they couldn't throw a stone, but they also felt they were better than Jesus. Go read it. Constructive spirit, understanding equality. Meaning this, all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. All means all, and that's me. A condemning spirit, there will be a despising of others. An anger or hatred with those that you're judging. There's certain lifestyles in our world today that we don't agree with. Would you agree with that? Right? We don't agree with the homosexual lifestyle. We don't agree. There's a bunch. I could mention a bunch, not just picking on one. We could go through a list. But I'm never told to hate anybody. I can't accept what they're doing. I can't welcome it into, but I'm still, Jesus died for those people. I still have to love them. Sometimes love is speak the truth in love. So sometimes I love them by telling them the truth. But I'm not to despise them. A constructive spirit is a genuine love. Hey, I'm trying to help. Remember, there's a judgment coming. Get it right here. So you don't have to meet Jesus and deal with it there. That's the idea of righteous judgment. A condemning spirit, one more, compares to others. Or you might say, and so the idea is that the judge, that's how we say it. The judge is comparing themselves to others, right? A constructive spirit, the comparison is made to Christ. And when you do that, kind of levels the playing field for all of us. Righteous judgment is very much what we've heard 100 times from preachers all over. One beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. One person in the darkness, or used to be in the darkness maybe, showing someone else who's in the darkness where they can find the light. So good judgment is guiding others to Christ in a humble and meek spirit. The story in John 8 would have been much different if the Pharisees had not envisioned themselves as so holy and good. They would have first judged themselves. Then, if they really had a concern for the woman, they could have brought Jesus, the woman, to Jesus in a spirit of restoration, not condemnation. I believe Jesus would have welcomed that meeting. So again, we are not the ultimate judge. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation, which brings others to Christ, and judgment is a large part of that ministry, and we have to judge every day. But I'm just going to encourage you tonight, because Jesus says if you're going to go talk to someone about the mote in their eye, check out the beam in your own. We better judge our judgment. Is it condemning or constructive? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the day. Thank you for the instruction that's given in your word. Lord, I pray you'd help us as Bible believers to understand the truth about, we have to judge in this life. But Lord, help us to always judge from a spirit of humility and a spirit that honestly is just trying to reconcile either ourselves to you or someone else to you. Lord, we need help with this. We pray that your Spirit would help us with that each day. And Lord, that you would just teach us to judge rightly. Well, thank you for what you do. And we ask all this in your name. Amen.